and work God's will out in our life. That power is through, of course, faith. And let's turn to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Here we're going to, for the next couple weeks, be looking at Moses. Moses and how his life extended to us the character of faith. How his life extended to us this powerful thought of how faith worked in Moses' life, and hopefully how faith in turn can work in our lives. Hebrews 11, 23 through 29. Hebrews 11, 23 through 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. But by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Our dear Heavenly Father, we need you today. We need your power through your word. God, will the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, implement the truth of God's word into the inner beings of the congregation today. Would your word not just have its effect on our intellect, onto our emotions, but may our whole being be driven and empowered by your word through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So, faith shows itself in Moses' life in a fivefold way. First, faith produced insight into Moses' parents to see he was a proper child. Second, faith produced a response of refusal to the titles of prestige. Third, faith produced an ability to let go of Egypt. Fourth, faith produced a taking of the Passover. And fifth, faith produced power to pass through the Red Sea. So first, faith produced insight in Moses' parents to see he was a proper child. Verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commands. So first of all, let's look at the parents. The first point from Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7, let's look at their history. Exodus chapter 1, 1 through 7, the parents' history. All right. Verses 1, 1 through 7 of Exodus chapter 1. Now these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already, and Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children, verse 7 of Exodus chapter 1, and the children of Israel were fruitful, and increased abundantly, and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. So we see this history of God calling out the people of Israel to a specific place within Egypt. And there they started very small, and there God built them into a mighty nation within Egypt. Here we see that this history is filled with the patriarchs that were promised that God would do something with their seed, that God had a purpose for them, that God would supply them with promises that were between them and God. And through this we see that Moses came into a family that had been, whose lineage had been promised by God that something great would happen. We are also of a promised seed, are we not? We are of the promised seed of Jesus Christ. And we have an inheritance that we can look forward to because we are of that seed. That should ignite our faith into action. Faith is never stagnant. Faith is an action word. Faith is an action word on the promises of God that is produced by the power of the Holy Spirit for us to be enabled to take hold of those promises and make changes according to the promises of God from His Word. If you're a child of faith, the most important thing you can focus on is Jesus Christ and His promises. And remember those promises. As parents, we need to focus on the promises of Jesus Christ, the promises that we and the commands that have followed will produce God-fearing children within our lives. We are not to raise our children according to the promises of this world, because the promises of this world are empty. There is pleasure in them but for a season. But the promises of our Heavenly Father when it comes to parents and their ability to parent are given by an all-powerful Creator that will sustain us in our obedience to those commands to fulfill the promises given to us. So here, these parents come from a history of people that had a promise. Second, their environment. Their environment. Exodus 1, 8 through 22. What was the environment that these parents found themselves in when having this proper child? Now, there arose up a king over Egypt that knew not Joseph. So we understand that Joseph in Genesis was raised to second in command, was raised to save the land of Egypt from the great famine that it would come upon it. And what would happen? Well, he would make a way for Egypt to sustain and thrive through difficult circumstances, and was greatly honored because of that. God used in a mighty way Joseph to save Egypt. But what has happened? A Pharaoh came to the scene that didn't remember how God used Joseph in the sustaining of his nation. Verse 9, and he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. So, we see that they're greatly blessed. They're an environment that has been greatly blessed, but there's great persecution that is coming forth from Egypt because of the blessings of God upon their life. They are seen as a threat to Egypt's pursuit. Verse 11, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure city, Pithon and Ramses. Verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and there were grieved because of the children of Israel. And Egypt made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Verse 15, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the name of the one was Shamparah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when ye do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stool, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men child alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives, and said unto them, why have ye done this thing, and have saved the men child alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not of Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are delivered ere the midwife come in unto them. Verse 20, therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied in them and waxed very mighty. Verse 21, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them a house. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So what does this look like? My goodness, this looks like a mess, doesn't it? Here are these nations being greatly persecuted by the world to the point where they are killing their children, their baby boys, giving a command to midwives to kill, and the midwives not obeying, then a new command of boys being thrown into the river and eaten by the drowned, or either eaten by the wildlife within that river. So very sad. Very sad situation. Very sad situation that Moses is being brought into. Yet we see parents that are filled with hope. Now that's very important for us to realize, because it feels like we're living in some situations that could be discouraging to us. We live in some uncertain times today, but we can have hope if we give ourselves to the raising of our children. And how is that done? By faith. By faith, through faith, we are able to see the importance of who God has given us to steward. The images of God that have been placed within our family for the purpose of us to steward for the glory and praise of God. Now I'm encouraging us as parents here, with especially smaller children, understand that your children are proper. They're blessing. They're a blessing. They're special. And they are meant by faith to be raised in a special God-honoring way. Let's never come to the situation where we see our children as burdens. Now, every parent that has children know that there is ample opportunity for us to feel as if our children can become burdens to us. But that's not how we're to view our children. We're to view them as being special and proper, and God has a plan for them. So the next thing I'd like to look at about these parents are the identification of the parents. The individuals identified as being Moses' parents. Exodus 2, 1 and 2. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took him a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Let's jump over to chapter 6, verse 20. Exodus 6:20 says, and Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses. And the years of the life of Amram were 137 years. Now, why is it so important that we understand where these children come from and what the Moses came from and the parents of Moses? Well, in chapter 6, in verse number 12 and 13, we read that Moses is discouraged because people are not listening to him. Look at verse 12 of Exodus chapter 6. And Moses spake before the Lord, saying, behold, the children of Israel have not hearkened unto me. How then shall Pharaoh hear me, who am of uncircumcised lips? And the Lord spake unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and gave them a charge unto the children of Israel, and unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And then from 14 all the way down to verse 27, he goes through the family history of Moses. So God is encouraging Moses to see that God hath prepared him through his ancestry to be in a position that would be following the will of God to accomplish God's calling in his life. God prepared through history the very position I would be in, the very family I would be born into. Now we can look at that negatively, some of us that have not had the best families, but for most of us here today in the service, we have been brought up in good families, and we should be thankful for to God for that. Whatever family you find yourself in, God has a purpose. And there is an exact position that God has placed Moses into, and by faith, his parents realize the position that they're in as they look back at their history, as they look back at the protection of God over their families, as they look back at the very place that God has put Moses in, they realize that there is a special purpose of God for this child, where they're not going to fear the king, but they're going to trust God. Exodus 6, 26 and 27 tells us this. These are that Aaron and Moses, to whom the Lord said, bring out the children of Israel from the land of Egypt according to their armies. These are they which spake to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring out the children of Israel from Egypt. These are that Moses and Aaron. J. Vernon and Vernon McGee explains the thought in this way. It is also essential that Moses and Aaron are who they claim to be. It has been 40 years since Moses left Egypt. In the meantime, he has married the daughter of the priest of Midian. Now here he is back in Egypt. Who is he anyways? This genealogy tells who he is. He belongs to the tribe of Levi, and his father and mother are Amram and Jochebed. The genealogy provides the necessary credentials for Moses to accomplish the work he is sent to do in the land of Egypt. Can any of us think of a baby boy that was born a couple millennia ago who had to be born of a certain family? Can anybody think of the prophecy of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ as a means by which would identify the Savior of this world? Today there is a huge push to say that the virgin birth is not important. Without the virgin birth, we do not have salvation. Why? Because Jesus Christ was a proper child sent for a specific purpose, and it was laid out before the foundation of this world. Isn't that great? Through the providence and of God, there would be given a child before the worlds were created. One day in the creation, a child would be given, and he had to fit a specific credentials. You know why I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior? Well, because he was virgin born. Because he's God in flesh. Because he lived a perfect life with no sin. Because he came from the seed of David. And all of that is laid out in Matthew and Luke so perfectly that we can read through and we can see that Jesus Christ fits all the credentials. You know what that shows us? There's a God in heaven who's very concerned about this earth. There's a God in heaven that's very concerned about the people of this earth. There's a God in heaven, listen to me, that is so concerned that he forms everything in such a way that his will is completed through these fallen beings. And his purposes are known through looking back and seeing his provision. In a very practical way, Christian, when you're going through a hard time, look back and see what God's brought you through. And by faith, he has a purpose. And he's proven it to you in so many different ways. Now let's look at the parents' perception of their baby. How did they view their baby? Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. First, they saw their baby as proper, which means well-bred, polite, eloquent. This isn't just physically. They didn't look at that wrinkled mass of flesh when a baby first comes out and say, wow, this is a pretty baby physically. I guess every parent looks at their baby and doesn't let reality hit and thinks they have the most beautiful baby in the world. But let's just be honest. They're wrinkly. They're filled with all sorts of whatever when they come out. And they're ugly. I don't know how else to put it. But when you look down, isn't it true? Every parent, especially a mom, looks down at her child and it's the most beautiful thing ever. Like, man, this little thing caused this much pain? And the mom right away forgets about all the pain and just wants to hold this mass of wrinkles. Well, you know what? We, as parents, see the potential in our children, don't we? We see the potential of how beautiful they are. As my daughters get older, I think they're more and more beautiful. But more importantly than that, we see the spiritual potential of our children. God is very gracious to us as Christians. Yes, there's conflicts in the home because of the fallen nature. But we also see out of the mouth of babes, some wisdom coming out. You parents remember when your children just spoke wisdom to you without even knowing it? We have that special potential to see that God has put in their perspective as children an honor to their parents that, if developed, will give us proper ability to form their thinking to be God-centered instead of man-centered. Here, we see an excellently formed child. The parents saw the potential of that child when it was born. Christian parents, we need to see the potential of our children when they're born. We have God to help us raise our children. They are made in the image of God. And we are to take those children whose natures tend toward sin, but who also have an innocence, and we're to develop that so they'll reach out to God at the point that they can and accept God as their Savior and have a spiritual life that will guide them through the decisions of life. Let's turn to Acts chapter 7 and verse number 20. Of course, this is when Stephen is preaching his message to Israel right before they stone him to death. And he is touching here on Moses in Acts chapter 7 and verse number 20. Verse 20, in which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. Acts 7:20. So we see that his parents saw him as exceeding fair. The parents saw the potential of their son. And because they saw the potential of their son, the second point is they were not afraid of the king's command. To be afraid means to be put in fear, terrified, frightened. The king's command, Exodus 1:16 and 22. Remember his first command of telling the midwives to kill the sons, and then his second command of every son that is born shall be cast into the river, every daughter shall be saved alive. So when we see this type of wickedness as in leaders in our nation, isn't that wicked? I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. So there is a push in our country and in our neighbors to the south to say, you know, a woman should have the right to abort their children for quality of life. That's what they're pushing. Women's right is all about the quality. This woman wanted a career, and she's pregnant now, and that's going to mess up her dreams. Christian, it should never be said that we ever would support that. That is wicked, devilish, demonic thinking. This push of, I remember during the lockdowns hearing Republican senators talking about, oh, this is such a bad government that would close down, and the economy would close everything down so mothers couldn't get back to work. And there's no childhood service for mothers. Look, if you're called to a career as a mother, amen. I'm not preaching against careers for women, but there's nothing more important than raising a proper child for God. And you need to make that your priority, both as husband and wife, that your children are the priority of your home. Well, there's so much social experiences that they can have if we just put them into what the public is offering for education. Look, your children, especially in elementary school, I understand as they get older that there might be some... I'm getting to the point, very honestly, where I don't think that for my children... public university education will ever be an option in the direction that they're going. Education from this world is totally contrary to what we believe in. Do we all understand this? I understand children have to... I'm not trying to downplay anybody or anything. But if you feel that God is leading to make your children... to prepare your children for what they have to face, make sure you're a vital part of the raising of your children. Don't ever give this wicked government an opportunity to raise your children. You better be very involved in the raising of your children, whether they go to Christian school, whether they go to homeschool, whether they go to public school. You better avail yourself in your responsibility to raise a proper child, because that's what the potential is in them. God's will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's made parents responsible for the process of bringing children into repentance by the preaching of God's word and the living of God's word in the home. I want to make this statement. We basically are in a nation here in Canada run by psychopathic crime bosses. That's what they are. They're narcissistic crime bosses that do everything. We have the most crooked prime minister in our history. Proven. 3 different convictions of offenses. He's a crime boss. That's what he is. Who's run by Satan. Am I being clear enough to everybody what I feel about Justin Trudeau? We have a premier before COVID that was worth $3 million is now up to $80 million. Small businesses lost huge amounts of money during COVID, but somehow our politicians got rich. They're crime bosses. They're thugs. They have no right to tell us what to do with our children. We go to God's word to find out what we do with our children, not crime bosses. The bad thing is, Doug Ford was the best out of all the crime bosses running for office, so I had to vote for him. I didn't vote for him. I actually voted for somebody else. But he was the best of the worst, and we had to live with it. Yet we care about what they think when it comes to spiritual things. When not followed, these crime bosses bully people into being afraid, and they threaten with their power. Legal. Now we need to be very thankful, because some of the pastors that went to jail now through the court systems are being said that they were right and our government was wrong. Praise the Lord for that. Amen? That should be a praise fact for us. The last 2.5 years shows us the most powerful prod that our government has to get people into a mold is an unrealistic fear. God is the God of wonders. We don't need to be afraid of what man can do with us. The countdown. You all remember the countdown of COVID deaths. You saw it all over your TV screen every day. You know what that produces in people whose God is not the God of the universe? Unrealistic fear. And you know what that causes them to do? To want a path to be pushed into for protection. And anyone that's not pushed into that path for protection, you know what they start to do? They start to hate those people and see them as a threat, to the place where they'll do the most cruelest things you could imagine, like throwing babies into a river. You say, Pastor James, you're getting political. No, politics is getting into morality and into the church, so I have to preach against it. And I'm going to preach against any party, whether I vote for them or not, that is bringing immorality into our culture, because we need to know what to do in a culture that is immoral. Let's use our heads and be spiritually led in all the decisions that we make. So, God gives us promises to help us conquer our fears of the king's commands. Now, I'm going to give a few points here, and we can run through them and think about them. The first thing we have to do in order to connect to God's promises to fight our fear of king's commands is, first, fight covetousness. Fight covetousness. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Do you know why the government can have its way and get us so full of fear? Because we're so covetous. And they say, if you don't do this, we're going to take away this. Yeah. Well, I can't have that taken away. If I have that taken away, I can't have this, this, and this. You know? A pastor, if I just get another job, you know, I'm making it fine. But if I can just get another job, then I can have a boat and a cottage. And no, we live really good here in Canada. I have a really nice house. I have a really nice car. It's kind of gutless. I wish it would go a little bit faster, but it's a nice man. Probably a good thing because I have a family in there. I don't need to be speeding. But I love it. Thankfulness is our key against fear. Why? Because when we become covetous, that is what becomes our God. And we don't trust God anymore. We trust the God of our covetousness. So when the government says, you have to do that to keep this, we say, oh, I have to do that to keep this. That's what the government says. Yeah. You know, the government says if you preach too hard against their agendas, you could go to jail. So we better not preach against their agendas so they can set the pace for the church. And that's what's happening today. I was shocked when I found out that our government offered the church, wherever you stand on the vaccination is not the point, but to offer a church more money to push vaccinations on the people is sinful. And that's what happened in some church situations. Not here, thank goodness. We went through the same thing. When they closed down everything, the government offered help to businesses. But guess what you had to do? You had to sign off on all of their agendas to get some of it. You know what we did with that? No, thank you. We're not going to sign off on your pro-abortion, pro-transgenderism, pro-homosexuality agendas. We're not doing it. And if we lose our church because of it, we lose the church because of it. We still have a family of people. Faith will enable us not to fear when the government comes off after us. I hope you're praying for each other's faith here at Bethel. Again, I want to make it clear that whatever you do with the vaccination is between you and God. That's your choice. All right? I didn't push either way. Okay? Get it? Don't get it. That's up to between you and God. But what I'm saying is I'm not pushing an agenda that I don't believe in just because the government offers us money to do so. By the way, thank God that we can still use our charitable status, but when they start pushing for us to comply to get that in the different worldly thinking that they want to push on us, we'll lose it. We'll lose it. We cannot be covetous about worldly things. That is not a life of faith. Second, the way that we get over the fear of this world and hold on to the promises of God is to focus on God's position. We must focus on God's position. Psalms 56. Psalms 56. Psalms 56, 1 through 4. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many and fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. Psalms 56, 4. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Isn't that good? He's my protector. He's my provision. Psalms 118 verse 6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Are you sure the Lord's on your side? Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand, the right hand of my righteousness. God's on our side. We go to him in faith of the promises he has given to us. He's on our side. We don't fear what man can do to us because we know the position of God in our lives. Third, focus on God's law over man's threats. So how do I keep an attitude of faith over the fear of the commandments of the king? Well, first of all, you don't live a life of covetousness. You fight covetousness. Second, you focus on God's position in your life. He's on your side. Third, focus on God's law over man's threats. Isaiah 51 and verse 7. Isaiah 51 verse 7, hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. What does that produce when you know God's law? It produces the ability not to fear man's reproaches, revilings, persecutions. It enables you to have faith in God's law over fear in man's threats. Isaiah 51 verse 12. Let's jump down to verse 12. I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? God, through his Spirit of truth, will comfort you in his word, and you don't have to fear what man thinks. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Matthew 10:28. Listen, God's word is what we focus on. So many times our flesh, in closing, wants to act out in fear instead of faith. How do we identify when we're being run by the flesh? By when we act out in fear instead of faith. God's word enables us to see that we can live by faith. That we can raise our children according to his purpose because they're proper children. There's beautiful potential for everyone that's born on this earth. When they come out as a baby, they're innocent. We mess them up as parents, but they're innocent, and their own sin nature messes them up. You know, when I act out in the flesh, it's because I'm covetous about my time. These children are wasting my time. I want some me time. Selfishness. Hey, parents, get some me time, okay? That's okay. I'm not preaching against that. It's good to get away from everything for a little bit and refocus and regroup, okay? But this whole thought of children just being burdens, it's because we have the wrong perspective of children. A faithful parent, a parent that's full of faith, will see the potential of his children. I'm in the flesh when I'm filled with covetousness. I'm in the flesh when I'm not focusing on God's position. And I'm in the flesh when I'm not focusing on God's law, but rather listening to man's threats. Can we be like Moses? Yes. We have the Holy Spirit residing and living in us, guiding us. Let's pray for each other that we will attempt, through the power of God, to live a life full of faith so we can have the right perspective on our children and each other. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. We just pray that you would be with us. We just pray that you would use this in a real way within our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.